Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. This is the Sound Health Option Show with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Richard. We do have a lot to talk about today. There are some wonderful things coming up. We have a show planned. We're not so sure it's going to come off because we have been unable to get in touch with our guest. And if our guest is out there listening or has one of her people listening, please call us at 347-850-1407.
And when you do get there, please press 1 so I'll see that that's you in the dashboard.
Yes, as of now, we are simultaneously broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm trying to watch all of the emails and the chat and the Skype to see if our guest calls in. So I'll probably sound a little distracted. Richard is over there at Blog Talk Radio, and he has a chat going on. This is a audience participation show. Donna Sebo is our guest, and she loves to do counseling and psychic readings for people. And the last time she was on the show, she just blew us away. You could tell her your name and where you were from, and people were just agog at what she could tell about them. So I think if you want to ask Donna a question, you could raise your hand and we'll be prepared for that. Marion, we have a new person today. I've never seen Marion O on our list before. So that's great that our audience is growing. I'm on Blog Talk Radio, and you can get to that by going to soundhealthoptions.com and going to radio, then go to Blog Talk Radio. And while you're there, the, as promised, the new antidotes to the flu shots have been put up, and they're under downloads also. It's under bonus, and you can download that software and instructions absolutely free. And there is a Vimeo, I don't know which one it is, but if you go to Vimeo.com, let me see if I can find it here. This is one we did with Ralph about the flu shots. And there's another one about radiation. That is there for you. Here it is, Revealing Rife Frequency. So just under our feed, Sherry, S-H-A-R-R-Y, Edwards. And it's the yellow one that looks like a lot of yellow and green stripes on it. So we want to remind you about that. And also, if you go in to listen to Ralph Husatola talk about informed consent, there's little cards that you can get that you keep in your pocket, and it says, I don't consent to this. Ralph found a law that will allow people to get around this. Now, I don't know if it works for anybody else but the U.S. population, but there's little cards there that you can keep in your pocket, or you can make your own card, keep it in your pocket, and say, I wish, based upon whatever this law he found, that I do not want to be shot up with flu vaccines and whatever else they decide to do. Because if you get arrested, they have a right to shoot you up, even if you've not proven guilty, or if you go to the hospital, or veterans, and to get any medication. They now have claimed a right, the pharmacies, along with the government, have claimed a right to just shoot you up with flu shots and whatever they like. So I'd really like everybody to have those cards. And You know, there's only about 1,000 people up there in Washington that have any power that are making the law. So let's get around them and exert our rights. We have a publication. That's not it. This is from Nexus Magazine, and we have a channel on Nexus Magazine where we post a lot of things, and this is one that was posted by someone else that I really think is fantastic. Scientists find new vessel for detecting autism, and they have found two proteins, something called Nestin and something else called CD34, and we are going to decode those and provide them to our practitioners. We just had a wonderful 5-day practitioner course. People from a lot of different countries, and they're going to take this back to their countries and start a bioacoustic community. We do have another, by popular demand, and because we want to do this, because we want to see it spread, another 2-day workshop from 10 to 4 each day in January, and it's going to be on PTSD, and it's for helping with any kind of post-traumatic stress from any event, a divorce, a car accident, being blown up by terrorists. We hope to be able to help people by providing that software free. So if you want to be a part of that, go to our site, the Sound Health Options site. Go to classes, 2-day technician, and I think we have the old one up from last week, but it's going to be on post-traumatic stress disorder. I have one other announcement that I think is incredible, and then I will turn it over to Richard. Ottawa Public Health suspends 900 Catholic school students over immunization records. They either couldn't find them or these kids weren't vaccinated. Over 900 elementary students of the Ottawa Catholic School Board will not be allowed back to school unless Ottawa Public Health receives proof that the children are up to date on their immunizations. And there's more and more coming out about what has been withheld about these immunizations. We did the show about it, let me find this again, with Ralph Fusatola, and we had a congressman on talking about whistleblowers that were coming forward because they know there's damage being done. I will put this Vimeo into the chat for everyone. If you could pass this along to everybody that you know and have them watch this. This is, he talks about where you get your cards to show that they have to have your informed consent. And there's a little code in there if you want to use it, 310SE, and I'll put that in the chat too. 310SE. And that's to help us get credit for sending you to them. They give us a little kickback, and we're going to put that in our scholarship fund to give away more scholarships. Richard, do you have any announcements?
I do have an announcement. There's this I am just so appalled at this, that the Cybersecurity Information Act, which is the acronym CISA, from what I have heard recently, has been buried, as is the I want to use some strong words. Dirtbags in our Congress like to do. They like to bury a bill in a bill that needs to be passed. And I believe that the CISA bill is buried in the appropriations bill or the funding bill for the government funding. So somebody wisely buried it in there so that bill, if they want to pass the appropriations bill, which may have already occurred, but I couldn't find it this morning, would mean that this CISA bill would pass. And even Homeland Security is saying this might be too much. This would no longer be, they would, now Homeland Security is not saying this, but other people are saying this, that CISA would actually not be just security, it would actually be spying. In other words, that would be the actual definition people would give it. You know, it makes sense, there's a quote here, it makes sense to encourage private firms to share information about cybersecurity threats, but this information sharing is only acceptable if there are strong protections for the privacy rights of law-abiding citizens. So with this bill, there would be no longer really anything protecting us. They would be able to gather data from the private sector, and the private sector would be able to allow, just openly share that with any government request. And it doesn't necessarily, there isn't necessarily a subpoena involved. It's just like, give us that information. Okay, here it is. So, you know, so much for security. We're better off, you know, like in the classic scene in all the movies, in some of the Gene Hackman early Enemy of the State type of movies, you have to go out and have a conversation with hats next to a fountain. Pretty much. You want privacy? Go in a forest with trees. You know, it just blows my mind. So that any communication, you know, would just open the... it makes me speechless, and we know that's hard to do.
So it's pretty much like... those IRS subpoenas, they're not really real. They just pull them out of their back pocket.
Yeah. I don't even know here that this is a, you know, an actual subpoena issue. This is, I think, just making it so that there's an open port so that the government can go to any, you know, if they choose, they can go to a cell phone company and say, give us all these records. I don't know that there is required a subpoena. At least there was some backpedaling toward looking at more controls where then there at least has to be a subpoena to get this information. It's really quite mind-boggling. I'll post links on it about it in the show notes.
Well, even when you think about that, we are much more free than some of these countries that they're bombing into oblivion and killing innocent people and schools and kidnapping young girls from schools. You know, I think about our lack of freedom, then at the same time, we have way more freedom than some of these countries that are just totally, I don't even have a word for what ISIS and some of these folks are doing. But I think it comes down to us being able to control our own destiny and be happy within ourselves. That's really the only thing we can control. We can't control all of these bombs and what's happening in other countries. So it needs to start with us. And our guest, Donna Sebo, is going to talk to us a bit about how we go about finding peace and finding our path, which leads to our own peaceful existence. I met Donna zillions of years ago, can't even remember when. She's been on our show. I've been on hers. We just have this mutual admiration for each other. She now has her own radio station and her own radio show. She's an author. We're going to talk about that. A counselor and a psychic. In her bio, it says, "The world of the paranormal became normal in Donna's life due to a series of experiences she had when she was in her 20s. She learned to accept this intriguing, fascinating environment of new knowledge by taking classes and becoming involved in activities that developed her mind skills. After years of public work, teaching classes, working as an assistant minister, she was ordained as a spiritualist minister. She's been working as a psychic. She's from Tacoma. I can't say enough good stuff about her. She totally blew our guests away last time she was on the show. We got mail about it for weeks, and so we have invited her back. And there is several questions from the audience already, but I wanted to ask Donna, welcome her, and ask her a couple of questions that I would like answers to. Welcome to the show, Donna.
Well, my goodness, Sherry, with that wonderful introduction, I think my head is just floating up in the clouds. Thank you so much. And, oh, I'm just delighted to be on the air with you again. And I just, it's an interesting interesting thing when you look at what is happening today in the world, and you had made a comment about these various things that are being pushed forward by people, and I was reflecting on the history of this nation. And when you look at the origins of our own history, our history was based on the fact that we chose, our ancestors chose, to no longer be indentured to anyone. And this nation has had to battle pretty hard to maintain its freedoms, and it looks as if we're having to do a cleanup job right now. And I think that it's wonderful that you're discussing these things and you're talking about them. I think it's an age-old battle, one that is, well, it's one that we have to go through again.
It seems like mankind has been going through this for ages. Who's right? Who gets the power? The most powerful person usually is the most greedy or the biggest one. You know, it's us humans that keep this going. We like to think of ourselves as truthful, peaceful, loving people, but when you really look at it, there's very few of those people who keep the place together, and the rest of them are out there fighting. Thank you for that comment. We've got some questions about that. I want to ask a question first.
Sure.
People loved you. They were intrigued by you when you did the readings for them just by listening to a few words. Many people wrote back, and I encourage them to write to you. They wanted to know how you began to recognize your talent to do this, and they wanted to know how they could develop it.
All right. That's a very good question, because in my experience and observation, I have noted that everyone is very unique in the way that their skills can be developed. Now, what I would say is that I honestly did not recognize my talents. In fact, even today, I don't get all excited about it because it is something that I consider a tool that is meant to enhance our well-being in life. And again, I will emphasize that everyone is totally unique in how they deal with this. Now, what happened with me is that I had experiences with dreams, with synchronicity. I was in a very strong state of denial. I think just about everybody goes through this, where we can be in a very ugly circumstance and we'll try to make it what it isn't. And I, in my early 20s, was very much of that dispositioning. I was in a very bad marriage. I was in a total state of denial about the truth about the person that I was married to. And I started having these dreams. And these dreams were frightening me because I was ignorant. I did not have an awareness of what they possibly could mean. But there was a side of me that said, well, you know, there's got to be something here, because my mind is bringing me these images, these experiences. There has to be something. And, of course, I can recall the story of Joseph in the Bible, where he was ridiculed by his brothers. His brothers didn't kill him, but they dumped him in a hole, hoping he would die. And then he's discovered, and he's taken to Egypt, and he ends up becoming, you know, a very powerful man in Egypt. That's a story that anyone with a Christian background is going to relate to, and they're going to say, oh, yes, I remember the story of Joseph. Well, he was one that was able to interpret dreams. So I said, there's got to be something here. Well, I went to a friend, my very dearest friend, and she said, Donna, I haven't a clue. But I've got this sister-in-law, brand new addition to the family. I said, oh, really? She said, yeah, she's involved with some group called the Rosicrucians. I said, Rosicrucians? What's that? She said, oh, Donna, I have no idea about that either. So anyway, as it turned out, I met Tiny. That was her name. And I told her my experiences, and she said, just like my girlfriend said, I haven't a clue about this. But I got a neighbor, and this neighbor, her name was Gloria. Gloria was a professional astrologer, an extremely psychic individual. Well, I was of Catholic Lutheran background, so I really didn't have much in the way of understanding of what a psychic was or what it entailed. And I had the privilege of becoming acquainted with Gloria via telephone. That was the first time I spoke with her. And I can remember how terrified I was. I had been raised with the attitude that you don't talk to people. You don't let people know you're frightened. You suck it up. If you're concerned, you don't tell people your problems, which I think in some instances that may be appropriate, but I think more often than not, it's better that we open our mouth and ask questions, and that's what I was able to do that particular night in Inglewood, California. And what happened is this woman, as soon as she started talking to me, I found that all of my fears went away. Instantaneously, they were gone. And I was intrigued and I was fascinated with what she had to share. And what it was the awareness that there was nothing for me to be afraid of. She took my dream, the one that I shared with her, she took my dream and she interpreted it. She took it apart piece by piece. She examined the colors. She examined the action and the motion of the dream. And when she did that, I became aware, and she told me very clearly, you have nothing to be afraid of. You do have people that are trying to control you, but you are going to be totally safe in everything that you do. And you are moving into a brand new land. That's one of the words she used to describe it. And she was quite correct, because what evolved within a matter of months was my leaving the marriage. It was about 6 months later, and becoming her student. And I was a student that was taught at a kitchen table. So you have these experiences, and she recognized my talent. She did both an astrological chart, but she recognized in me skills and abilities that I wouldn't have even in a million years have associated with. So what happened with that is that I was blessed with her teachings for about a year and a half to 2 years, and she then passed away. She was quite young. She was only 38 years old when she passed. But by all of what I was told, she shouldn't have lived past 16 years of age because she had some very, very serious health challenges. But I'll never forget her standing in her kitchen one day and saying, you know, Donna, I would love to do what you're going to be able to do in your lifetime. She said, you're going to talk with people from around the world. You are going to travel to many different places. And she said, you have communication skills I do not have, and this is your work. And I said, what's my work? She said, the psychic area. I said, you got to be kidding me. What is it? You know, what's the value of it? It doesn't make any sense to me. Well, she then guided me to a little spiritualist church. And I feel now very, very graced that I had the opportunity to know Reverend Humble and a number of very fine people who would be called today mediums and channelers and people that demonstrated their talents in so many different ways. And it was there, and I was associated with them for about 10 years. And when I was in that environment, then I had the opportunity to practice. And I'll never forget Reverend Humble one day saying to me, because I was a very quiet person, contrary to where I am right now, but at that time I was very, very, I would almost say shy, because of the way that I had been raised, I would seldom open my mouth about anything. Well, I did about asking about his classes. Well, he must have really had a bad hair day, because he just blew his top. He said, I am so weary of people wanting to go to classes to learn how to be psychic, and nobody wants to work at it. My eyes got as big as saucers, I'm sure, and I just looked at him and I thought, oh my goodness, what am I getting into? This guy has a temper. But he really was, he had been in the work for so many years, And he was from Illinois. He was a farm boy originally. His stories were just amazing to listen to. But he found people wanted to just have it happen. They expected it to be an escape from life, its responsibilities. That is not the case. So I worked with him for 10 years. In fact, I was an assistant minister with him for 10 years before I was actually ordained. And he would turn over the responsibilities of everything. And I would run services for him on Friday evenings. These Friday evening services were for the students so they could practice. The public was always invited to come in. And I found that it was packed when I got there. I learned how, in the beginning, to pay attention, first of all, to what was coming into my mind and not judge it. It would be a feeling, it would be an awareness, it might be a picture, and then I'd document it. I would document it. And for a while, I tried doing drawings of what I saw. I realized that I had to learn the language of my mind. Now, that's very important because everyone's mind works in its own way. Then in doing that, then I was able to do the next step. And that was doing readings without the drawing. In fact, I found that I was getting my information so quickly, I couldn't possibly draw and keep up with what I was getting. Then I learned that I had the capacity of reading one person right after the other. And I would maybe do 40 people within 2 hours. And I would go from one person to the next person to the next person to the next person. This was something that was so fascinating to me. And I was fascinated because I would watch this information coming through me. But the documentation I learned of what I was experiencing was training my conscious mind to be accepting of what the subconscious was bringing through. When you do this, then you are going to find yourself very comfortable in giving information. But there's a consistent and constant learning process. It's always going on. You're never there. And I say this from experience because I've been in the work of mind for so many years, and to this day, I learn something new just about every day. So here I am with this, and then after Gloria passed away, it was within 2 years, when I think about it, it was a very compressed time period of learning and growing when I was with her. And then I had the additional 8 years with the Spiritualist Church, and then I moved away, and I had been ordained. I ended up being married, and then I ended up moving out of the state. When I look at this, and when I'm speaking to people about developing their own abilities, the first thing I like to emphasize is that psychic ability is normal and natural. There is absolutely nothing abnormal about it. It is part of your survival kit. I have said this for so many years. Women have a tendency to be more aware of this, because within the natural scheme of things, the difference between the male and the male has strengths that many times the female does not have physiologically. So it's important that the female develop this sensory system because she is the one that gives the gift of life. She is the one that bears the children. She is the one that ensures the survival of the species. So it's very important that she be endowed with this extra stuff, if you will, the psychic ability. Men have it, but they typically utilize it differently. Now, this is my positioning. This is my observation. When men have a stronger feminine side, then they are more inclined to be more like the female in their intuitive capabilities. When women have the stronger male persona, and we all have the male-female in us, we have these parts of us, it operates a little bit differently. It is absolutely fascinating. So if someone who is listening to this show today wanted some tips, it's number one, accept this as normal. This is not something that is going to cause you to have a utopian life. If nothing else, it makes you aware of how much responsibility you have in life. This is not going to be necessarily a journey of tap dancing and Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers moments. No, it's not going to be that way at all. In fact, you're going to be more aware of things going on than you would otherwise. Number two, document what your experiences are. If you document your experiences, then it becomes more comfortable. Number three, you have to learn the language of your mind. You need to be aware that as a human being, you have been indoctrinated with a lot of belief systems. Those belief systems are going to operate as a form of communication, good, bad, or indifferent. You'll need to be honest and have integrity with what you perceive. You don't add anything to it, and you don't take anything away from it. When you're writing it down, it has a connection to the brain. The hand-brain connection is very, very, very significant. People like to do things on the computer. That's fine. But I can tell you from experience that there is that connection when you are writing something by hand. Goes through the eye, goes into the brain, it's accepted into the nervous system. And then you have to be willing to be the student to learn about yourself. You can learn by observing others. But the journey of self-exploration that comes with the knowing about your own intuitive ability is quite phenomenal. You'll be able to recognize your weaknesses. It may take you some time. But you'll be able to see a lot of things about yourself, and then you look at the world differently. And one of the greatest gifts that development of psychic ability gives you is the awareness that you have a job to do. It doesn't mean that you're insignificant by any stretch of the imagination, but you do come in with a responsibility of living your life with integrity, of living your life with honesty, and of being the best that you can be. And that means you're going to go through a lot of growing experiences. I know I've gone on for quite a while, Sherry, and I apologize for that. But I really think it's very important that it be understood that this is a tool. I call myself an information resource. This is a tool. In and of itself, it isn't worth a plug nickel. You could take all the psychic ability in the world, and it is not going to do a cotton-picking thing. Not a thing. But it's meant to be used. You cannot build a good house without a hammer, without nails, without tools of different types, without having structural design. You need to do that if you're going to have a good house. And that's what psychic ability is meant to do. It's meant to enhance your talents. It's meant to enhance you as an individual.
We're on your website, Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, international.com, and we're looking at counselor and speaker and author. And is there a place here where you teach people to do this, or do you encourage them to come to you? How does this happen?
What I encourage people to do, I have a publication, and it's under Mrs. Sebo's Classics, and you can tap on the button at the top of the page there that you might be on, and you go right to Mrs. Sebo's Classics. And in Mrs. Sebo's Classics, I have an audio publication as well as an ebook that I believe is up there now. If not, it's going to be up there right after the first of the year, called Mind Magic. And I did it many years ago because I wanted to share this knowledge with people. But I don't have a new publication on it, but I am coming out with a brand new children's book, The Magic Hat, and you can see some of the art. And the ebook and the audio book for The Magic Hat is up. So that's something we're focusing on right now.
We're looking at it. looking at the books, and we want to talk about some of that, but we have a flood of questions coming through, and a big one to start with, and maybe you don't even do things this way, but Francis asks, what can we expect in the world in January?
I think things are going to pretty much be continuing just as they are. We've got some big upheavals that are going to be coming through in the next 2 years. Americans are going to need to wake up out of their lethargy. They're going to need to realize that they are going to have to stand true and stand tall to what they really know needs to be done. And we are going to see some pretty ugly situations occurring in an overseas environment, and there are going to be some situations that potentially could happen here. But I will tell you my perspective. My perspective is that this is a cleanup year. We actually have 5 to 7 years of cleanup that's going to have to be done. And when I say cleanup, I mean cleaning up corruption, holding people accountable, not being in an attitude of fear. We need to realize that the principles of freedom are those that have to be enforced. You can look at different periods of history when different nations were at peace, so to speak, and that certain cultural attitudes came back in that they thought were buried and ended up destroying that peace. There is a very special aspect about the American spirit, and that is that the American soul believes that it has a right to be free. That's fine, but you cannot just have assumptions with it. You need to recognize that there's a responsibility with that. Life is pretty much going to go on the way it does go on. But we have to be aware that there are always those standing in the shadows that just absolutely adore the idea of scaring us as much as they can, and just letting us know how insignificant we are and how much better they are at doing what we can do ourselves. It is nothing new. It is nothing new in history. So the American soul is really going to have to fight for its own place, and that's a part of our history. We've had to deal with this through so much of history. And the sad thing is that so many people today, especially the younger generation, hasn't got a clue. They don't know this, and it's something that needs to be brought to the forefront. So self-sustainability, we're quite capable of it. Self-sufficiency, we're quite capable of it. And one of the things that I love about being a part of this wonderful country of ours is even if you have nincompoops that are making decisions, and some of you maybe have never even heard of that term, a nincompoop, but anyway, if they're going to be making decisions, we have the right to say it's not acceptable. But we also have to be aware that we have to educate ourselves. And Sherry, you and I both know that you can't get ahead without being open to learning and questioning. And that's something I had to learn. When I hear complaints about the younger generation, I think of when I was younger and how dumb I was at 20. And 22, and 23. And I just look at it and I go, good gracious, it's so easy to criticize. So what's the job? We have to open our mouths and share our thoughts, stimulate inquiry and investigation, be willing to take risks, and be an example towards those who have not walked the road of experience yet.
Well, and I want to toss in a comment about that. That I think it goes back to that first mean psychic you studied under, the one that was like, you've got to do this. You actually have to like participate and practice and, you know, finger wagging and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I would say that I agree with everything you're saying, but there's really that key part in there where the people have to be willing to participate. We can't just
yes.
think that if we vote somebody in that we kind of like, that it's going to happen. We actually have
no.
to be willing to write petitions. I mean, there have been amazing things that have occurred by people participating in writing petitions, you know, taking things. And actually, so we actually have to participate in government. We just don't put them up there and go, okay, go.
Well, I think there is something else, too. How many times or have you heard someone in media, and I'm in media, how many times have you heard someone state they actually read the bill they voted for? If you do you ever hear a reporter asking the question, have you read this bill that's 2,000 pages long? And then having the bill there themselves and saying, I have page number 42, paragraph 13, line number 3, blah, 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 blah. What do you say to this? You don't see that, do you? You don't see anyone in media actually reading these items. What you see is sensationalism because it's entertainment. And that's because
everybody has advertisers and they're all trying to get their points up, like the, any of the debates. It's all about, this is a whole separate show. That's what it's about. It's all about the media and getting the spin and finding what media can take and turn into a meme so it goes out onto Twitter. And I'm not saying anything that is wrong, but you're right. It's back to how many congressmen, you know, there should be a law put in, like congressmen, not their aides, the congressmen actually have to read the bills they sign.
Correct.
They actually have to go through and look at it.
And there are many people that have served politically that have written books. And I have one by Tip O'Neill. And I'll never forget when I read it, and I read it many years ago. And he was the Speaker of the House. And in his memoir, he stated how so many decisions were made over a card game and in smoke-filled rooms. There was a woman here in the state of Washington who decided when she was retired, because politics had always fascinated her, and she was like so many of us, we're so busy, we're taking care of our families, we're doing our work, we're doing the best that we can with our everyday responsibilities. So when she retired, she said, I'm going to check out the politics, and that was here in the state of Washington. And she was appalled at how, when she would go in to listen to something in the House of Representatives, there might only be two people there. Everybody else was gone. Yet you would see something on camera, and it only showed one person. That's all. It was done in such a way that you were not made aware that the entire room was empty of people. This person literally was talking to air. And then there were times the decisions being made in back rooms. She was astonished. She was absolutely astonished. So it's when, and this was many years ago, so this is nothing new. This is nothing new. And I always find it intriguing when people in a political positioning will dumb down the American population and say, oh, you just couldn't possibly understand this stuff. Excuse me. We have Bill Gates, we had Steve Jobs, we have all these people in the private sector that are doing amazing things, and you're telling me we do not have the intelligence to figure out A plus B equals C? I don't think so. So it's really a cleanup time. And again, going back to the individual's question, it is time to understand that we're not slaves. We are not meant to be slaves. And if you become too frightened, if you say, I want somebody else to take care of me, well, I've got news for you. There is an ancient philosophy among the Chinese, and that is whenever anybody tried to conquer China, they wouldn't necessarily fight very hard. They would fight. But then there was a time of assimilation. And what they would do, they would make everybody that was, quote-unquote, the enemy so comfortable that the enemy became immobilized. They made sure that they did everything that made the enemy just feel so safe. And, oh, gee, they had all the luxuries, everything. And then they said, we absorb them, and they are no more. It is what Gandhi called non-resistance. There is a wisdom in that. It doesn't mean you lay down and just die because somebody else decides that's what they want you to do. But it means you have to be wise. You have to really look at the facts. Wars have no victors. What you have is devastation. You lose agriculture. You have suffering that is absolutely appalling. Nobody really wins in a war. When you have a population that is dumbed down, where they become illiterate, they no longer are productive, that is when you see the population becoming slaves because they allow somebody else to make their decisions for them. Think about the early days of this nation. We had to fight. We used guerrilla warfare. That's a modern term, but that's what we did. And people fought. They had to fight. And it took a lot of different people and different circumstances. It was rough. It was tough. It wasn't fun. But eventually, we were able to hold our own. And that's what we need to remember. And this nation has been through it before. The United States is a bastion, a representation of what generations for thousands of years have yearned for. We've lived it. And now we need to come out of our apathy.
I want to do a whole other show about political things and political candidates. But I want people to see what you can really do. I want them to hear it. Richard was not with us last time you were on, and I was telling him what you could do, and he was absolutely amazed by it. And we don't have any volunteers, so I'm going to ask Richard if he would volunteer and if he would do a reading. Is that what you call it? A reading? On
yes. Yes, and the reason it's called a reading is because that's what you're doing. You're reading information about someone. You're reading information about an individual. Now, I will preface it by saying, and Richard, what I would say to you is, this is information only, and it is meant to assist and help you with what it is that may be of a concern, and if you have a question, you're going to be able to ask the question. All right, Richard, the first thing I am looking at, normally I ask people to just say their name just so that I know they're on the line, but I know you're there. The first thing I want you to be aware of is that you are going to be putting together what I call a documentary. Now, this is going to have to do with an interview style. And it's going to take you, I'm getting the number 6. I think it's going to take, it could take as long as 6 years. I think there's going to be a series of programming. That's how I will phrase it. There will be increments of information that you will want to discuss. And so you are going to formulate a layout so that this can be done in its own manner. Now, when you do this, you need to be aware, don't try to get too much into what I would call a segment. And as you're doing this, if you will sort of take the patterning of design like one would with a book, you're going to have an introduction, you're going to have chapter 1, chapter 2, maybe chapter 12. So as you do it and as you have this incremental layout, you're going to find that you want to expand on it. You then are going to be able to put together 3 books, and I will call it a trilogy. And this is going to have a real deep meaning for you because in doing the books, you are going to find yourself researching a lot of history. That history is going to be extremely fascinating to you because you're going to find out about a lot of things that, let's say, would not have been noted in a history book. And there are going to be four individuals that will be working with you on this. You're not going to be able to do it all by yourself. And a couple of these people are going to be very skilled at digging up unique details. And that's really going to make what you do extremely fascinating. Now, in the interim, in the now, as I am looking at this month of December, I feel like you need to tie up as many loose ends as you possibly can. I also want you to be aware that January is not going to give you very much free time. You are going to find you have a pretty busy schedule, so you need to, at this point in December, you need to look at blocking out some time frames. You need to take some downtime before the first of the year where you're off by yourself, maybe having a latte, whatever it is that you want. And you, interestingly enough, you seem to think best when it's really noisy around you. It would drive me nuts, but you really seem to think, oh, it's just great. All this hubbub and noise and people can be rah, 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 and you're just sitting there making your notes and just doing whatever you're going to do. Now, you need to block out time. I don't care if it's a regular time every week. You need to do something where it's just you and a pad of paper and a pen. If you want to use a computer, that's fine. Go ahead and do that. But this is very important because there are going to be concepts and ideas that are going to pop into your head amidst all of this noise that I'm seeing around you. And you're going to be able to document it, and then you're going to find that there's synchronistic events that support what you have been given in the way of a download. That is really going to move you forward. I'm really intrigued with this year of 2016 because I think you're going to find yourself challenging some of your own assumptions. And this is good. There's nothing wrong with this. And it's going to bring you into a whole different paradigm of thought. This is one of the reasons why some of the movies, like Star Wars movies and others coming out, are going to have such an impact on people, because they are recognizing subconsciously the shifts and the changes, and that's what's happening with you. So you've got a very hard-working 2 years ahead of you. I wish I could say you were going to go off to Italy, sip wine, and eat cheese, you know, and just enjoy the sunsets in Tuscany, but that's not what's going to be happening. You're going to have a pretty intense work schedule. If you want to go to Tuscany, and I'm being a little flippant when I say that, but if you want to do that, you're going to have to put it in your schedule. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. You need the downtime. You really need the downtime. Do you have a question for me?
Let me pick myself up off the floor. Do I have a question for you? Jeez. Odd. You talk about it being in the written word. Could it be a transcribed written word? Does that fit with what you're saying? I understand the idea of the visioning, you know, of producing a documentary or a product, but I'm more of a visual or a speaking person.
Are you just seeing
the form of a book in terms of a kind of finished entity, or do you actually see it specifically
I see
as
three
a written
books.
Work? Okay.
It's a written work. I see three books. Now, somebody else can do the transcribing and do the layout and all of this, but I think your documentary, or I use that term because that's the term that's coming into my mind, the information that you have in text and information, that is going to be, as you said, transcribed. That's a very good word to use, transcribed into a written format. Yes, that could very easily be part of it, but that is going to be in addition to some other things that you do.
That's my reaction. In a positive sense. Particularly the moment in there where you talked about, that was very funny, about the being in noise. And I used to actually use that as a tool to make me hyper-focus. I would go to a place like a Pete's Coffee or a coffee house where there was lots of conversation and noise. And I would study because it would, that amount of noise causes me to hyper-focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I would
well,
use
that
as
sense.
A beneficial tool.
Mm-hmm.
So that totally makes sense. The idea of writing something makes me slightly nauseous because I'm not a writer. I'm much more of a talker. But the idea of taking interviews or shows or a compilation of something, I just need that. That's actually the bigger view I'm looking for. Is there a theme? Do you see a theme or I guess a theme is the best thing I can come up with. I understand the three sections or chat books, but do you see an overall theme of what that content is about?
I think it is content material. I would use the word truth. It is, to a degree, not unlike Ripley's Believe It or Not. Would you believe that this was really what happened? And then presenting the facts and the information. Believe it or not, this is what it is. And I'm using Ripley's words because I think of the way Ripley used to think. He'd go out and he'd look for what people said was not possible, yet it was possible. He would find, he always had his eyes open for that was unique and unusual. And some of it just seems incomprehensible. But it is. It is there. People, these are facts. This is not illusion. These are facts. So I come from that positioning.
Right. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah. Particularly that part about the, because there's a lot of stuff that I bumped into in my, I've always been a researcher. And fascinated by numerous things. And so this fits right in with, I can't quite get the theme, but I can get the idea of putting something together. I just don't know what it looks like yet. So maybe we'll talk.
Well,
and so that leads to the next question. If people want to work with you further, or if I wanted to work with you further, how does that work? Do we book sessions online?
All they need to do, I do not do it via email. I don't do it that way. Now, when we're doing shows, when I'm doing radio shows and people send in questions, I can answer them. That's not a difficulty. But I really like working one-on-one with people. So typically it's done by phone. Most people are not in the Seattle, Washington area where they can meet me personally. But this is something I do by phone. And people just call me. We set up an appointment time. I have a fee for my time. And then I document it, unless they have the electronic equipment on their phone. But I really believe in documenting information because when I do that, there are subtleties many times that people become aware of when they listen to the, and right now it's a tape. I don't have a DVD or a CD recorder per se. So it is something that they are able to listen to. And they go, wow, now that makes sense to me. One of the things that happens when you're getting a reading, the mind is going 10,000 different directions because it's automatically trying to categorize, just like a computer does. This goes in box one, this goes in box two, this goes in box three. And so many times I find information is given and people say, I don't have a box for it. And I say, well, don't put it in a box. It's very interesting. I'm just as fascinated with this work and with what I do as I was when I first started. I find that it's absolutely unlimited in its capabilities. And I encourage people to be willing to learn and to do. But to meet with me, they can meet with me by phone, and all they have to do is call my office at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604. And they're able to reach me that way. If they want to schedule a session with me, they can also email me saying, Donna, I'd like more information about a session. And all they have to do is put the word reading in the subject line and send me a short email, and I'll respond. And the email goes to donnacebo@comcast.net. donnacebo@comcast.net.
Awesome. I want to make one brief observation to Sherry that I think it's interesting. Sherry, I think it would be fun to have a print of Donna when she was just talking, about her work and her life and what she's observed, and then a wave of her voice when she's actually reading someone. Because to me it sounded like a slight shift or it's a different... I've had other readings, and I have a friend of mine who's been a professional intuitive forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a slight shift in the quality. I can't explain it, but I bet there's a shift of some kind, because it's so interesting, because there is a definite shift of my feeling of you reading me is that it's an actual, you are reading. It's not like you're, I don't know, it's a different shift in the intonation. It's in the style of how you speak is slightly different. It's very interesting.
You know, oh,
and
yes.
The content is great. And the
mm-hmm.
content is really, as people know, to make me speechless is, wow.
Well, I did that while this was happening, Richard and Donna. As
oh,
Donna
my goodness.
Talking, as Donna was talking about what to expect in January, out of her reading it says you have a high degree of intuition when it comes to listening what people are not saying. So we had a whole reading on that, and there was definitely a shift when she was reading for you. It comes out, if you had to lie to see justice done, you'd do it. Because justice doesn't always jive with the law, so it pushed it away a little bit. But the numbers on her chart are what is so different. And people, we are using Nano Voice, N-A-N-O Voice, that you can get from our site, soundhealthoptions.com. And what happened with her voice is that she shifted from a female perspective and added to it a childlike openness, naivete. Now, to me, the childlike is without reservation, without rules and judgment. So a lot of her voice shifted to that octave, and it was kind of wonderful to watch as the note of A, spirituality, came in as the highest note. So to me, this would be an incredibly clear channel. And when we put these two vocal prints together, it makes a tremendously open, whole person that's available on many layers and simultaneously. And most people are not able to use those layers simultaneously. I'm impressed.
Well, thank you. It impresses me what you did. My goodness.
I will send them to you.
Oh,
but it's really interesting.
Sake.
As Sherry knows, I love the numbers. And it is great as I'm looking at the numbers, how it is, it's radical in that all of a sudden you add in this really large amount of, you know, in the as Sherry would define it, is that innocent childlike. But, I mean, that fits perfectly with the kind of texture, as it feels to me, in that it is just, it's just a pure reading. That's why it's a childlike, because it's just a pure, like, here's a thing. It's just a clear, no filters, you know, like children have no filters about what they'll say. It's that same thing of, like, you're just reading it. It's just coming through as a, you know, pure thing. So it's very cool. Thank you.
We were not able to record the video of this, but I will put it up on the announcement on our site, Sound Health Options, about the radio show. I will put this together as an article and put it up for you to look at. I'll also send it to Donna. I want to do another show with Donna somehow. I don't know if she's up to this, but to look at the presidential candidates, because we have followed them through the debates and how they've changed, and I'll send that to you. And I really think that would give people an opportunity to know who's real.
Well, I think that would be wonderful. I've never done anything like that, so I would be happy to do that, Sherry. If you wanted to set up a time for us to do it, that would be wonderful. I feel so strongly that the talents that I have, this is something that people that are listening to the show need to be aware of. Your whole physiology, your body, has to adapt to the shifts and changes within the nervous system that are produced as psychic ability grows within you. It is a very, very big responsibility to take care of yourself physically, because the nervous system is the freeway that enables you to be a conduit for the downloads of information. And if you don't take care of yourself you're going to have some very serious health issues. And I think anyone who has been in the work for a long time, and Richard, you mentioned this wonderful friend of yours, and I think they would agree, you have to be very, very aware that how you treat your body is going to enable you to be a better instrument of communication. It is, you don't have to be an extremist with food. You don't have to go in and sit on a rock in the cave of the Himalayas. That's not a requirement. What it is that you honor and you respect your body, taking care of it to the best of your capability, and realize that the development of skills goes into a patterning over a period of time. And if you do not have a real strong physical vehicle, you can have some very serious health issues if you try to push it too hard. I have been graced because physiologically, I have been able to work up to 150 people in a day. Now, that is not something I do every day. But as I have matured, I know that this is something that I must be very respectful of. I must be very respectful of my physical vehicle. So it's important that people know they get their rest, that they pay attention to the quality of the foods that they eat. And again, there's no extremism here. I don't advocate any kind of extremism. It doesn't work. It doesn't serve purpose. But you have, if you're interested, people want to develop their abilities, they need to know that they have to take care of the chassis that they occupy so that they can do the best that they possibly can do.
Go ahead, Sherry.
We did a study about this and found out that people who are psychic and using this universal energy become very narrow in their tolerances, so that a normal person's blood sugar could be 80 to 120, but normal for a psychic would be 92 to 106 or something like that. So as their mind becomes sensitive, so does their body become very sensitive.
I've done some research, hardcore research, meaning, you know, strapped to labs, machines, and that kind of stuff. And in psychics, as a broad rule, tend to burn through minerals a lot. So you want to have a good, you know, as you say, it's not, you don't have to be like, only eat blue food. It's not that. It's just a broad spectrum of foods. But, you know, a lot of, I would say, organic foods would be fabulous because they have a better spectrum of mineral content. Because you really seem, there's something in the makeup of the kind of work that you do and that intuitives or psychics or readers do that seems to burn through those minerals. And I'm curious about what that is still, but we haven't found out the answer yet.
Well, it's a conduit.
Yeah.
Well, it's a conduit.
A little bit of information, because the minerals, the cell salt on the outside of the cell, is how the cells communicate with each other. And if there's a tremendous amount of connections going on, those minerals would be in high need.
Conductivity, I think, would be a very good word to use. The minerals help to conduct the transmissions.
Yeah.
Gee, doesn't
yeah.
that sound sophisticated? It sounds like I'm a scientist and I know what I'm talking about. Woo-hoo!
That was good.
Yes, but it is. It's conductivity.
Yeah. And it's hard on the cells. I want to toss in sort of a personal note about us talking about Congress and actually reading the bills, that I don't think anybody's actually read a bill since Henry Fonda went to Hollywood and did Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, where he was a congressman. A very old cinematic reference, but he was involuntary. He ended up being a U.S. senator, and I remember scenes of him actually reading bills, and I think that was probably the last time that anybody actually read a bill in Congress, in my opinion.
And that is the key. That is the key. I don't know about you, but I've had the experience of being lazy and not reading a contract the way I should have read it.
Then
suffering the consequences afterwards. So these people, remember, we're just dealing with human beings, for heaven's sakes. They're not gods. What is it with the human character that we want to have gods? We want to have someone that we bow down and worship. Excuse me. They're just people but they have to be held accountable. And as a society, we need to have that accountability. And again, we've gone through this more than once. So look at Tammany Hall, for heaven's sakes, in New York history. Look at Chicago. You had Capone. You had all of this. Look at the mafias. Look at all. What happens to clean it up? What happens is the average citizen says, thank you, I'm Clint Eastwood today. Make my day, and we pull out the 45. And that 45 is not in my watch. Are you going to take away the freedoms? Not on my watch. Are you going to make me afraid? I'm not going to do that. I don't give you permission to do that.
Yeah.
That's another
show. The Donna Sebo Dirty Harry show. That would be great. I want to do that show. Let's get down on that. There we go. Now we're talking. Let's get some action going. Okay. I think, do you have any other thoughts, Sherry, or should we move to the close before we run off to something else?
What a joyous way to close the show.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Great.
Thank you so much for having me as a guest today.
Thank you so much, Donna. I knew it was going to be fun, and it was mostly pleasurable. I'm still, I'll be listening to the show again and figuring that out and maybe consulting you further. So that was great. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And, Sherry, I want to thank you for being so generous. I know that I'm going to be talking with Jill Mattson this month and her new book that she's got out. I just am blown away with the research she's done regarding sound and music, and she mentions you in the book, and I know the two of you have worked together on so many projects, and I'm looking forward to having her as a guest, and I look forward to talking about much of what you do on a future program with my show, The Donna Sebo Show, and I just am so delighted. Thank you for including me in your format today. This has just been wonderful.
It's
Thank you so much,
for us
Donna.
Too. You are one of our favorites. Thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Everybody have a great rest of the week.
Oh, and happy holidays. My goodness.
That's right.
Happy holidays.
Yes. You too. Yes. Happy appropriate holiday of your choice. have
it's
a great
time
rest
to party.
Of the week.
Exactly. You too.
All right. Thanks very much, everybody. Okay, bye-bye.